Is Carol here? Is Carol here? Where? Where are you, Carol? Can you walk a little? Walk toward me if you can. Great. Okay. Don't overdo it. We meditated with Carol for about eight of us. We each spent a half hour for 3 days, Friday, when did we have our first class with it? Thursday night, so we didn't do it. Friday we meditated with her in the afternoon, and then Saturday and Easter Sunday, we put in an hour and a half, and she flew all the way here from South Africa. She came in a wheelchair, and she's walking. Jean called me from her room this afternoon and said she's walking. And I'm very happy about it. It sort of puts a good touch into the seminar. And we see in person that the teaching is correct, that when you meditate for a person in the spirit, with the Christ, that there's a response. We hope it continues and accelerates and that you recover your strength. It's going to be nice when you come home and say, I'm walking. The word now is a very important word. Eternity, as large as it is in now. It's important to each of us because our so-called life in time is a misnomer. There is no life in time. We call it life. But if life is the Christ life, and the Christ life is not in time, then life is not in time. As long as we remain in time, we remain an illusion. And I suppose it would be easy to be satisfied with being an illusion. But there's no God life that exists except in the eternal now. And although it seems like the eternal now must be miles and miles away and years away, several millennia at least, now in the eternal is now. And will it astound you to know that you already live there? And you're catching up with yourself. What is this now? Try a meditation on now It may astound you what happens. Now, I am the light. That's the theme. Now, I am the light. Now, I let my light shine. Where is my light? My light is everywhere, as the Christ. And when my light shines in me, there's nothing anyone can do to me. Nothing, no harm can come to me. I am lifted in consciousness. I am able to perceive things I couldn't perceive before. I have new capacities. I work beyond my sense level. All things are possible to me. I might start off with a minor thing, but it will be something that was not possible to me before. Now, I am the light. To mouth those words may not do much for you, but they are truth. And I'm not going to say another word until you have lightly spoken to yourself and within yourself say it. Now, I am the light. You have said an eternal truth, a truth that will always be true and will always be true of your being. And the key to that, the purpose of that, is that you can always be saying truth to yourself, always be receiving truth from the Christ, and when you live in truth, you can't go any higher. Let your light shine. We didn't know what that meant. There was a vague connotation about it. What was this light? Oh, we thought we'd sparkle a little bit, maybe. Or we'd be a little brighter, or just brighter in our intelligence, or we'd be cheerful, or some things like that. Let the Christ shine where you are. You were being told that you had a light, in fact, that you were that light, and to let it shine. You were told that you were infinite in that statement, instead of this being who walks the earth. You were told that you were perfect in that statement, instead of the person who reports occasional depression, pain, little local arthritis. And when you're told to let your light shine, you're being told that those things do not belong to you. They are not yours. You have put a name on them, and you have said they are mine, but they aren't. You can't even make them yours. You are the light. And as soon as you start realizing that every time you act in a way that is not the light, You're not being yourself. You're not being what you can be. And you don't need anyone to tell you you can be better. The Father's word is enough. And so you should be ready now to accept that this day called Easter, I start off as the light, if I haven't already. And the light is capable of everything. Now we'll slow down a minute. We won't use our willpower to do things we'd like to do, but we'll give the Lord a chance to instruct us. And I want to listen to that voice, because the light hears the voice. I want the Father's voice to speak to me. I want to see that the child of God receives the voice. Listen for it after calling yourself the light, and see if you don't have greater receptivity to the voice of God. Told you that you are the light. Who told you let your light shine? In the Bible, it was Jesus. But Jesus is the Christ. Who told you to let your light shine? The Christ told you. Who is the Christ? You are. The voice has been saying to you since you've been on this earth, let your light shine. Let me out. Let me be you. Why do you waste your time being a mortal being when you are the light? Why do you waste your income on medical bills? Why do you waste your energy on convalescence? Why do you waste your ability to walk freely with occasional lapses when you do not work as well as you should? All because you have not been practicing knowing and expressing, I am the light. Now, the best you can do with the truth at first is to at least shake off the temptation to believe you're not the light. I have a headache. I have a cold. We all receive those inner impulses and we readily accept them. And now you face the impulse. No, I don't have a headache. I don't have a cold. I am the light. And even if the cold restricts your laryngitis, and if the headache is burning, you still are the light, and you still don't have the cold, because I am free of all error. And there's a fellow with your name impersonating you who has a cold. And soon you get the idea that I have something to say about this. I'm not going to adulterate my identity 10 times a day by stating that I have something when the Christ never has. There's something I can do about it. And lo and behold, as I do what I should do, the temptation goes away. You're startled, perhaps, but the temptation doesn't linger. And every time throughout the Bible where Jesus performed a miracle, that was what was happening. The eye of the patient made visible as Jesus was saying inside the patient, no, I don't have a crippled arm. No, I don't have a withered arm. No, I don't have leprosy. And the world has not seen that these are actually self-healings. And that each one has the capacity, because of the omnipotence of Christ, to look at any ailment that faces one and to say, no, I don't have it. And I don't have it because there's no such thing in the universe. It's coming up to me, it's wearing a mask, it's saying, I am this, I am that. It doesn't fool me anymore. I am the Christ. And I dare not think I'm not. If I deny the fatherhood of God, what's left for me? Do you see you've got to stand up and be what you are? And in the face of every form of error, you must look at it, no, I don't have it. Oh, this body might have it, but I'm not in that body. How can I be infinite and be in the body? How can I be the light and be immersed in a prison called body? Either I'm coming out of sleep, or I'm just boasting. Why not wake up, thou that sleepest, and let Christ give thee light? Let Christ take you and show you the Father's way. when you get ready to admit to your identity, to be it, although you don't look it, you don't feel like it, you are it. When you are willing to say, I am the Christ, and the Father speaks to me, the Father will. And so I suggest now that you take into consciousness an hour a day that you are I, the Christ. And that when that meditation is over, you're going to walk out as I, the Christ. And that during that meditation, you will be listening for the Christ voice, for the Christ impulse, the Christ direction, Christ instruction, and you will do that for an hour one day until you receive a specific instruction. When you receive a specific instruction, no one will have to tell you to go inside and listen for any more. You want to shout it from the housetops. You want to tell everybody you know. No one can stop you. They can just suggest that you keep it to yourself. Get a few of these words of the Father first, and then only tell it to the nearest and dearest. But get them and be willing to listen. There are better times to meditate than any old time. When you get to meditating very well, it's any time. And when people call you, you got to get to do it right then, so you don't have a choice. But you can pick for your preliminary meditations those times of day which lend themselves to subjective thinking. I find when day is breaking between, the end of the day as the sunset goes down, and it's just about an in-between shade of gray. Night hasn't fallen yet, but is slowly falling. In the gloaming, you just rest there, and oh, it just slides off like watermelon out of... Just, you can just feel the pulse, the weight, the presence of something grand. And in no time at all, it always seems to take off well for people when they get in there at that dusk hour. And then, when you meditate in the daytime, even though it's light out, it's better to get into the darkness so that there's no sun in your eye. And you find that in the shade with your eyes closed, and particularly if you can get in a quiet spot, it's just much easier. As I say, you'll come to the point where who cares where I meditate or when I meditate? I can always meditate. It's a natural thing. But when you're not doing well, like the people know who I'm talking to, the people who have the problem, when you're not doing well, make sure your chair is right, everything is comfortable, the room is quiet, the air is just right coming through the window, and then you lift it into it. Make sure you can stay in it if you want to, so that you don't have noises around. You should be able to meditate now at a half-hour stretch with just the joy. Not having to open your eyes, just listening. There was a day when Joel said 3-minute meditations. Well, he wanted to make sure that you did at least 3 minutes, and he knew that you could do 3 minutes without getting tired or frustrated, and so just three. And then later more, another three, and then another. Finally, he got to 30 meditations a day. We're more advanced now, and those were wonderful as pick-me-ups. A minute, close your eyes, and take off. But there should be a time during the day when you have a solid, long meditation. I wouldn't sit down and do a talk, for instance, like this, unless I had first been quiet and let the Spirit come. Let it give you the outline of what you're to say. Let it perhaps speak a word to you. Let it build up your awareness. Let it take away all extraneous thought. And then the talk has a smoother flow to it. Similarly, I've been in business, and before I went out to see clients, I used to meditate. And I imagine we felt the power of that. Meditation is useful for every purpose. People were telling me about the neighbors next door making all that noise. Well, it's true, you could just call them up and tell them to be quiet, please. Maybe you don't think it would work. You could call the police, but we don't approve of doing that. But we do approve of your being still. And you really don't have to think much, you just be still. And I can recall a phone call I got from a woman. Our neighbors were always noisy. I might say this was in Las Vegas. And they were up all night, you know. They were playing machines and things. And she was going crazy. And all she did, all I told her to do, was to be still and know there's no neighbor next door. There really is no one there. You just got a material apparition. And she didn't quite know what to think of this, but she did it. And pretty soon, the neighbor, who was the obstreperous one, moved. She got a kindly neighbor, a sweet one, and that was all there was to it. The point is that Christ is always working for the benefit of everyone. And if you are in your Christhood, that which is obnoxious to you will be removed, or you will move to another place. But you won't be there to listen to something that is noisy or whatever might be happening. Christ always listens. Christ always knows what's going on in your life because Christ is you. Now we get into the habit then of having these meditations every day, not to let a day go by. It's only simple. When you're thirsty, you drink water. And you're thirsty for truth, so you have to meditate. And it's amazing how it straightens things out right away. Sometimes in 10 minutes your whole life is changing. I hope you're doing that. But now we're interested in a relationship with the Christ. It takes time before Christ takes over your life, before there's nothing but the Christ where you are, and not the duality of a human being. And be patient. It's got to happen. It might take you 5 years. I've known cases longer than that. But it's got to happen. And you will be a better person for it, and then you will slowly find that you are not even a person. You look at people with a strange feeling of, I like that person. He or she can't offend me. I just like them anyway. And you exude this atmosphere of contentment. You find that you're not tense anymore. You're not anxious. And all of this has a nice settling effect on the various parts of your mirage, so that it doesn't keep you up at night. It doesn't become a trip hammer in your chest. You don't have to complain to everyone. I know people who complain every day of their lives. And often, this could be eliminated simply by the belief that I am the light. The speaking voice of Christ is going to be your companion. You won't talk about it because it will be too precious. And you will lose it if you treat it any other way. Christ is not to be spoken of in the mystical way to anyone not going that way, but to those who are walking your path, you can change all the notes you want. You can stay up nights and talk about Christ, talk about the Spirit, and you'll find that in the middle of your conversation, you're in the Spirit. I'll prove it. We'll talk for 5 minutes, and if we're not in the Spirit in 5 minutes, I will be surprised. We are without thought. We are listening for the Father's voice, some sign from the Father that the presence is here, and that the presence is here now, and that the presence is always here in the now. I must come to the now to hear the presence. I live in time. That's wrong. There's no time in the presence. No one can live in the time. The part of you that lives in time is dead in time. Instantly. You die a million deaths in time. Every second you die in time. Every second you're born in time. Dying and borning, dying. Every minute goes and every new minute comes. And you squeeze your life into it like a toothpaste. And you think you're living. No past, right now. We can't think backwards, hold it. We can't think forward, hold it. Draw in these two parts, the past, the present, to the now, and don't leave the now. If you've got to spend 2 minutes in the now, do it. And then spend 2 more minutes in the now. In the now, in the now, now. Now is God. Now is God. God only speaks in the now. You will never hear Christ except in that split second of now. When you hear the voice in the now continues. There is no time. That is feeding the self of you. The self of you lives in the now, where Christ lives. And when you feel that now, you're entering the kingdom of God. No, don't go into the future. Stay in the now. As you develop this capacity to remain in the now, it wouldn't matter if you remain there for 30 years. 30 years will go, but you'll still be in the now. You will find a greater capacity to stay in the now. All the time that you are in the now, that's the time that you are being the child of God. You have to practice it. You have to consciously sit down, step out of time. And that puts you in the now, but it is very elusive, and you struggle to maintain it. And eventually, you really do. And that is how you communicate with God. All communication with God is in the now, where time is not. And as this grows with you, you can look at your life in time and realize it is not. And then you have the mystical truth that I do not live in time, and that is why my light does not show. Because it cannot show in time. Book of Revelation says time is no more. But time is no more only for those who have become enlightened that their life substance is not in time. there's a ring to now, sort of an extension into eternity that you feel. All things stand still, and this now is where you hear the voice. Speak, Father. Your son heareth. He finds something in you wanting to tell the Father that you're here. Oh, the Father knows, but you want to communicate with the Father. One student said, today, you have dined with the Father. He heard it. And as the day went past, we heard various things that happened to people. Images that appeared within themselves joyously. There were many who could report and couldn't stop reporting because it bubbled out that things were happening, things of a nature that was a God experience. And I know from experience too that when you have the God experience, it will never leave you. Never leave you. It's telling you that I am come, and I will never leave you. I've told you that in words that you've read in the Bible. But when I speak to you, I can never leave you. And you know it. You know we will be back together again in consciousness forever. Even when I don't speak to you, I'm with you. And you know it, and you really do. That assurance from the Father comes every time you have the spoken word or even the slight inner influence. And you can have them 10 times a day, and you're just grinning from ear to ear because you know something wonderful is happening. Something beyond yourself, something in your inner self. And of course you then are willing to take chances you wouldn't take because you feel the rightness of what you're doing. You loosen up. I have discovered what to me would be so exciting, that when you receive a promise within, it happens. It always happens. It doesn't matter what the promise is. When the promise comes from within, you can close your eyes and stand on a plank and jump. It will be there to catch you.